You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
Think about this. Another encounter has happened in Washington, D.C., when God is calling Dutch Sheets to go and pray with some others in Washington, D.C., and to be able to drive a stake, a nail, into the soil of Washington, D.C. And an angel appears, and the Word of God, Scripture says in Hebrews that be careful in how you entertain strangers, because you might have entertained angels unaware as. So angels come to us in different forms. But this particular angel looked like an older man. Let's go to Washington, D.C. and find out what God had to say about mercy, 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 six times over America, and finally delivering the seventh time. Check it out.
I used to go to D.C. all the time to pray. There are dozens and dozens, maybe a couple hundred times. And then before that, though, maybe 2010, maybe 2011, 2012, God told me just stop going to Washington for a while. He said, just go to the states, go to the nation, just leave D.C. alone. And I did. I didn't go in for a good while. People could say, when are you coming in? What are you? And I said, the Lord's told me not to. He said, I'll tell you when to start going back in there. Amen. So my wife came. I was on the phone early that week before we did our conference here, which started on Thursday. I was on the phone to my daughter. She's my assistant. We were working on some travel things, and Cece stormed into the room and said, I just heard from God. He said, it's time for you to go back to D.C. I just kind of nodded at her like, okay. She said, she just interrupted the call. She stopped. She said, no, this is serious. I'm not talking about like a few weeks or a few months from now. I just heard God say, now, it's time for you to go start now. She doesn't often get that intense. So I just immediately told my daughter, I said, change my tickets next week and route me into D.C. I'll go 2 days earlier on this trip and I'll stop in there for a few days. And I called a couple friends and said, do you want to join me? And they said, yes. A couple of high, you know, good, very mature leaders. Told them what had happened. They said, I want to go with you. So we got our tickets, then came here for the conference. During the conference, Chuck Pierce, he prophesies frequently over the nation and, you know, what God's doing in the earth. He doesn't do a lot of personal prophecy. But he said, Dutch, come up here, I have a word for you. And he handed me what he called a vav. That was the year in the Jewish calendar, or the number 50, whatever it was. It represented the year of the vav, which is a stake that, and he had a lot of symbolic meaning, stake your claim to this and that. And well, the Jewish, that's what the word, they had symbolic meanings for it, the Jewish history, and connecting heaven and earth with the stake and the rod and all that kind of stuff. And so to help people symbolically remember and do things with it, he got these railroad spikes. I don't know where he got them. He had hundreds of them. And they're just an old railroad spike, but if you paint them gold, now they're evolved. They're not anointed till you paint them gold, but if you paint them gold, they're evolved. Yeah, they look nice and they represent the glory of the Lord, and you know, it's just even nothing about that. Just represent something. So he'd give it to somebody and say, stake your claim to, and it was just something to remember. But he called me up and he had one of these and he said, the Lord says, take this to Washington, D.C. this week. He didn't know anything about what Cece had said. He didn't know I had my tickets. He said, the Lord says, you take this to Washington, D.C. this week, and you restake claim to America. And when he finished the prophecy, I said, Chuck, I already have my tickets. We're going. So we went, and I won't tell you where we put that, but we put it in a very significant place. And while we were praying in front of the White House, this was the last morning. We were out on Pennsylvania Avenue praying, making decrees. Commanding certain things, binding, loosing, forbidding, allowing, taking the keys to the kingdom, closing doors, opening doors. You're allowed to come in here. You're not allowed to come in here. That kind of thing. And an angel came to us. We had got far enough away from everybody on Pennsylvania's Avenue is now closed since 9/11. So it's now like part of a park, even though it's still a street, but it's closed off. And people stand there and take pictures of the White House and gather and just do their tourism thing. So we got off about 50 yards from everybody else on the other side of the street, away from the White House, so that we could pray quietly, confidentially, without being interrupted. When I'm praying in a situation like that, we don't get in a circle and hold hands. Nothing wrong with any of that, but there wouldn't be anything wrong with doing it there. But we don't want to draw attention. We don't want to be bothered. We don't want somebody to come up and start talking to us. And so we just, if you watched us, you would just think we were talking to each other. Our eyes are open, but we're really praying. We don't stomp our feet and shout and holler, and we don't get loud. We try to do it in a way that we're left alone and nobody knows what we're doing. So we stand there doing that, and I said to the guys at one point, I said, been here about an hour. I feel good about what we've done. Do you think we're finished? And one of them said, I don't think we're finished. I said, okay, let's keep going. So we prayed another 30 minutes or so. And sometimes we just walk and do our thing individually and then come together and what are you hearing? And we'd make decrees together. And I saw the corner of my eye a man start to walk toward us. He's dressed very plainly, almost poor looking. Older man, bent over a little bit, kind of walking like this. And I could tell after about, these guys are facing this way, I was facing this way. So I was the only one who could see him, and I could tell after about 10 feet in my peripheral vision, he was on a trajectory that would hit, bring him to us. And I was first irritated because I thought, you know, it's so obvious we want to be over here by ourselves. Why are you? And my first thought was he's probably a panhandler going to ask for money. He got about 5 feet from us to where we could hear him. He's walking like this. We're here. He never made eye contact. He never looked up. He started saying the word mercy. 6 times he said it. Mercy, 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 mercy. 6 times. He's about 5 feet past then. And we looked at each other. One of the guys said, "Is that?" He said, "What? Who?" We just all. He said, "Who is it?" And somebody says, "Is that an angel?" And then somebody else said, "It is. That was an angel." And we said, "Who are you? Come back here." He wouldn't stop. He wouldn't look at us. He walked into the crowd of people, disappeared. We tried to find him, couldn't find him. He just vanished. And the Lord spoke to me very strongly through that. He said, "I want to give this nation mercy, not judgment." We're already, you can't sow without reaping. That's just a law that God created. And there are wages to sin. But I'm talking about whether or not God redeems, restores, or just has to say, "You've gone too far." And so what he said to us that day was, mercy is going to triumph over judgment. and I want to give mercy to this nation. That became my prayer during 2016, right up until the elections. 2 months after that happened in February, and I brought that up to say that happened is almost like what we did here in this place was a part of the process of strengthening us, preparing us, and sending us prophetically into Washington, D.C. for that. But 2 months after that, a lady came to me and she said, very trusted prophetic intercessor, she said, I had a dream about you, and in the dream, you kept saying over and over again, it's all you kept saying, I have tapped into a root of mercy. And she said, you'd say it differently. Like you were shocked, or like incredulous, like, I've tapped into a root of mercy. And then you would say it with strength, like, I have tapped into a root of mercy. Over and over. And I knew it was the Lord just confirming, hey, appeal for mercy. Ask of me for mercy. Come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. I want to give this nation mercy. In the election, I want to give this nation mercy. In October, another man, a prophetic pastor that I know, had a vision, called me, said, had a vision of you. You were in a deluge of rain, but it wasn't raining water, it was raining coins. And by the time it finished, we were all ankle deep in coins. And he picked up several of them, and they all were U.S. coins, but at the top of every coin, in capital letters, it had the word mercy. And he said, in the vision, you picked up some of those coins and you looked at me and you said, I looked at him and said, mercy is our new currency. And I believe God gave us mercy and is giving us mercy. I've asked the Lord many times why that angel said mercy six times. I said, Lord, why not seven? That's a good number. Seven is the number of completion, fullness. It's also the number of covenant. Because the oath of covenant was repeated seven times. And actually in Hebrew, the word oath or swear, when they swore the oath of covenant, and the word seven are the same word. It was actually called sevening yourself. When you got married or you entered a covenant with somebody, you repeated the oath seven times, you sevened yourself. Because you're entering the covenant. And it did seven because you were saying, I give myself to this covenant completely. Number seven, fully, fullness. So it became the number of marriage, covenant. I said, why not seven? Why not five, grace? Why six? Didn't really matter to me. I never really expected, I hoped I'd get an answer. It didn't bother me that I didn't get an answer because the Lord never told me. Until 3 weeks ago. When a prophet that I run with had a dream. He came to me shaken up. I was with him in a meeting. He said, I had a dream last night about you. And I could tell by the look on his face. It was the fear of the Lord. He said, I dreamed last night that a man walked up to me in front of the Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C. And he said to me, I am the angel that came to Dutch Sheets and repeated the word mercy six times. A And then I had the same look he did. And he said, tell him that I said it six times because I couldn't yet say it seven times. Tell him that America needed a movement of mercy from the Father before he could recovenant this nation and join it back to him. So I said it six, not seven. Tell him he can now say it seven times that this nation has moved back into covenant with me. Mercy. Mercy draws us back to him. It's not that the whole nation is there. It's that when we gathered in Nashville in 777 to remarry, recovenant the nation back to God, when the praying remnant has been moving and repenting and repenting and repenting and saying, Lord, heal our land, forgive our nation. Hey, it's working. When you do 2 Chronicles 7:14, when you do the first part of the verse, we're supposed to believe we eventually get to the last part of the verse. And God has never waited until those that don't know him or the majority get to a certain place before he does something. He's never worked through anything but a remnant. And the remnant prepares the way for others to follow. He didn't wait till all the giants were gone and all the idols were gone and all the child sacrifice was over before he said to Joshua, take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. It wasn't ground holy because they stopped doing all that. It was holy because he was there. And when he shows up, then you can deal with that other stuff. You don't deal with that other stuff to make it holy. He comes and sanctifies, sets it apart, cleans it up, applies the blood of his blood sacrifice. Now you can clean it up. Now you can get rid of abortion. Now you can redefine marriage back to the way it's supposed to be. You can't do that till he comes. And his mercy endures forever. And his mercies are new every morning. And he delights in mercy. And he keeps covenant and mercy. And he gave me that phrase when that angel came and I tapped in that root of mercy and the currency thing. He gave me that phrase, that verse. He keeps covenant and mercy. And for a year I cried out and said, Lord, I'm not asking you to respond to us based on covenant right now. I didn't know this about what the angel said about mercy and covenant. I just said, Lord, if you deal with us based on covenant, you're going to have to judge us. Because we've broken covenant with you. I'm not asking you for justice. I'm asking you for mercy. But we're moving back into a place where America can be a covenant nation. I tell you, it started when Trump made the stand he made on Jerusalem. We aligned, the earth shifted at that moment in time and America shifted.
Exciting, oh my goodness, it all shifted. We're just seeing so many things take place. Mercy, mercy, mercy seven times. And you think about mercy. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. A mercy movement means God's going to do something good for America that America doesn't deserve. And so when it was six times of mercy, it wasn't yet moved back into our place. But God did it. And we see, if you could look back since 2016, God just shifted America just dramatically in the last 3.5 years or so. And we're looking like, bam, it's just amazing. And now we're back into a place. And significantly, as he was ending there, he said, the fact that President Trump moved the embassy to Jerusalem, the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and Israel, and declared Jerusalem as the eternal capital of Israel. Just major things like that, just so powerful. Begin to end these different things like the Hyde Amendment that funded abortions all over the world. He ended that where American taxpayers were paying for abortion in other countries. And he began to help confront in pro-life situations, standing up for Israel, standing up for the church, standing up for life. It's been an amazing thing taking place.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.